Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Gateway Rescue Mission, meeting the physical and spiritual needs of the homeless right here in Jackson, Mississippi. Check us out at www.gatewaymission.org.
Welcome in, night owl. Glad to see you guys on this Tuesday night. It is 9:52 as we start the show tonight because me and it looks like everybody else stayed up to watch golf. Yeah, Ole Miss may be, essentially the final four of match play in the NCAA tournament for golf. And I'm telling you, I'm a golf guy. I watch every PGA Tour event, every major. I'm really locked into golf. But even with that being understood, there is very few things in that sport quite like team match play. That was in Ole Miss. They lost to Oklahoma State, so they got knocked out. But one, they had an incredible run. They made the quote-unquote Final Four, if you want to call it that. But they made the match play round. They were really exceptional all season long. They get Lasasso winning the national championship, Malloy's second individual national champion, joining Braden Thornberry. Tankersley qualified for the U.S. Open. He made it through qualifiers, and in the final stage, he beat a bunch of tour pros. I mean, guys like Sergio Garcia were in his qualifier. He made it. They didn't. So Ole Miss golf on a heater right now, and that was extremely compelling. My goodness, was that awesome. Unfortunately, they came up just a little bit short, but man, winning the match earlier like they did, you had Fisher, the hero, earlier, and it was awesome. I mean, that was your heart breaks for him, but man, I did not think that I would be locked into golf for basically 8 hours on a Tuesday, but I was, and a lot of you were as well. So congratulations on a hell of a season. I always thought when I first moved to Mississippi, like Ole Miss golf should have, this was what it always should have been, right? Golf and Ole Miss just kind of felt like it meshed together beautifully, and the program did not succeed at that kind of a level, and it is now. I mean, with Chris Malloy being there, that he clearly has built something really special, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon. And the women's program is outstanding. Corey Henkes is, I mean, she's a national champion. They made the national championship this year as well. Did not make match play, but they still made the national championship tournament. They had a participant in the Augusta Women's Amateur as well. So the most prestigious, the most prestigious women's amateur event as well. So Ole Miss golf right now is just humming. And there is yet another team in this season where Ole Miss sports, the disappointing team is the football team that won 10 games. So your football team wins 10 games, and that's a disappointment. Basketball, both men and women make the Sweet 16. Baseball's hosting a regional. Softball makes the College World Series for the first time. And then here's this side sport, which I know is a tier below those when it comes to interest and importance, generally speaking. But the women's golf team makes the national championship. The men have an individual champion and then make the semifinals. And they make the match play round and then make semifinals. And it took a playoff hole for them to get knocked out by one of the best teams in the country. What a year Ole Miss sports has had. Not over yet, but what a hell of a year. And a lot of non-golf fans were locked in to golf today. And I love to see it personally because I'm a big fan of the sport. So welcome into the Rebel Report. I know it's late. It is very late. So I'll get you guys out of here a little bit early. Little programming note, the schedule for this weekend. We're not going to go live Thursday because we're just going to go live after every game. So that's the plan now. We'll go live after the game Friday night, go live after the game Saturday, and you know, you hope there's a game Sunday to go live after as well. So that's just going to be how we're going to do that this week. We're going to go live after every game. So no stream Thursday, obviously one tonight, and then we'll just go live after every game. Don't forget to subscribe, by the way, if you haven't already, and click the notification bell so you know when I post or when I go live, just to make sure that we can balance, or not balance this thing out, but just in case, you know, we're late because of golf or whatever, you don't miss it. Also, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And this edition of the show is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out at toyotaofbrookhaven.com. They're on exit 40 in Brookhaven. You don't need to live there to shop there. The car buying experience is a stressful one, especially nowadays where it feels like nobody has any money. At least I certainly don't. But the car buying experience is a pretty brutal one. Go to somebody that's going to take care of you, that will treat you like a person, that will understand your circumstances, and will make sure that they sell you a good car. And they'll do that at Toyota of Brookhaven. They have a service department also. So if you live in the area, one of the highest rated in the state, tell them I sent you, by the way. You got $1,000 off any in-stock new Toyota before anything else happens. $1,000 on me at Toyota Brookhaven. They will deliver. Check out their online inventory. Even if you don't live in the area, I promise you, you want to shop at Toyota of Brookhaven. So a few things I want to get to. First of all, here's a I got two cuts for you from the radio show today. I talked to the play-by-play voice of Georgia Tech, and it was a longer interview than what I'm going to play for you. We talked a little bit about them getting snubbed from hosting. A lot of people thought that they should have hosted, ultimately did not. Their coach, who has been a coach there since 1994, is hanging it up after this season, so I asked him about that as well. I cut that out of this. I'm just going to bring you, when we talked about the team itself, I asked him about their lineup. They have an individual player that's putting up ungodly numbers, pitching plan, and stuff like that. So here he is right now. I'll play this for you right now. The voice of Georgia Tech baseball, and I'll bring, here it is for you right now, part of the interview from the radio show today.
This is the stat that everybody likes to use now, but Georgia Tech as a team hitting 315, and by my count, seven guys hitting over 300 in this lineup. Are they as dangerous as the numbers say that they are?
I think they can be. And you've seen the offense struggle a little bit. You've had Kent Schmidt, who has been the top hitter for Georgia Tech, 400 average this year. He's got 40 RBIs on the season for the transfer in from Georgia Southern in his first year as a sophomore at Georgia Tech. He missed 20 games with a foot injury in the middle of the season. You had Kyle Odese, who has been one of the top guys in this lineup, hitting over 330 this year. He was out for about a week and a half, a little over a month ago. And so when you had both of those guys out of the lineup, you still had some production, but it wasn't obviously what it was going to be with those two guys in it. You get Kyle Odese back again after about a week and a half. Kent Schmidt comes back. They both get back into the lineup within about a week and a half of each other. And you really saw this lineup really go top to bottom. And I think the biggest part, yes, you add those two back into the lineup, but it's also somebody like a Caleb Daniel, who is an all-freshman selection for Georgia Tech this year. He's coming in 321 into the regional on the average side. But somebody that's driven in almost 40 runs this year, he was having to move up to the three hole with Schmidt out. Now he's bumped back down to the 6-7 hole. And so it just lengthens this lineup so much. And whenever you've got guys that over the last week or so with Will Baker at second base batting eighth, and then Drew Rodgers, who had two home runs in the ACC tournament this past week, hitting ninth as a freshman DH, I think it shows you how lengthy this lineup can be when they're going well. And it seems like this lineup over the last week and a half or so of the regular season really made a big push to getting back to what they had been. Because at times at the beginning of ACC play, before you had a couple of those key injuries, it was one of the more dangerous lineups in the ACC. And I think you're really starting to see signs of it getting back to it at the right time.
Who's the one guy in this lineup that if you're Ole Miss or Western Kentucky, whoever they're playing, where he comes up in a big spot, you think, oh, four-letter word, I don't want to pitch to this guy?
I think the obvious answer is Drew Burris. And there's a lot of people across the country that think that he is the best player in college baseball, and getting to know him the last 2 years, I can't dispute that by any stretch. He is one of the hardest-working people, and I've been doing college baseball for about 15 years now, and I've never been more sure that there is somebody going to play Major League Baseball than Drew Burris. His work ethic, his attitude, he came into Georgia Tech and he was pretty solidly on people's top four, top five round draft board across Major League Baseball coming out of high school in Houston County. And he decided that if he wasn't going to be a first round pick, he was going to come to Georgia Tech and he was going to graduate in 3 years. Nobody in Georgia Tech baseball history has ever played baseball and graduated in 3 years from Georgia Tech. He is still on pace to do that, finishing up his second year on the flat, and he is somebody that has just been an absolute phenom to watch. He won pretty much every freshman award that is possible. He set the freshman home run record a year ago with 25. This year he comes in, he's got 61 RBIs on the year, and he is somebody that can really take a game over. You saw that the last week of the regular season when Georgia Tech was having to go on the road to Duke to win the ACC tournament, or ACC regular season, I should say, and it didn't stack up well for Georgia Tech because you had three teams on that final day of the regular season, or rather four teams that could win the ACC regular season tournament, and three of them were in Omaha, the other one was Georgia Tech. And Burris just kind of puts the team on his shoulders. Game one and game three, he goes 4-for-4 in each of those and about six RBIs combined. And so he's the guy that can really put this team on his back and really carry it.
We got just a couple minutes left here. What do you anticipate their pitching plan is going to be? Let's just pretend for a second that both Georgia Tech and Ole Miss win their first game. Who do you think the Rebels would see on the mound for game two?
I think it's pretty safe to see a combination of Jalen Payton and Brady Jones. The back half of the season, Brady Jones has been the game two starter, whether that most of the time be Saturday for Georgia Tech. He's been the game two starter for the entirety of the season. Jalen Payton has taken over the Sunday role for Georgia Tech down the back half. It'll be interesting to see what Georgia Tech does with game one against Western Kentucky coming up on Friday. I would expect it would be Tate McKee, who has been the Friday night guy for Georgia Tech for the entire season. Struggled a little bit down the back half, but had a really good performance in the ACC tournament this past week. But I would expect to see Brady Jones or Jalen Payton in that game two start, and both of them have been really good. Both of them transfers from the Sun Belt Conference, Jalen Payton from Georgia Southern, Brady Jones from Georgia State, and both of them have been so crucial to what Georgia Tech has been able to do. And it's a relatively thin bullpen for Georgia Tech at this point in the season of trying to figure out who guys are. But one name that you're going to see definitely in Oxford this week, at least once, if not a couple of times, is Mason Patel, who has been the bullpen ace for Georgia Tech, and he is more often than not been the best pitcher on this staff. Comes in with a sub-3 ERA. He hasn't made a start this year and comes in with an 11 win. So that just kind of tells you the impact that he's had on this bullpen for Georgia Tech.
Well, Colin,
Colin Lacey, by the way, is his name. I forgot to say that just a second ago. But good stuff there from the Georgia Tech perspective. Gives you a little insight onto what Ole Miss could be seeing anyway. Don't sleep on Western Kentucky. We'll get to them probably coming up in the comments. Second clip I got for you. This one's a much shorter. We had Kendall Rogers from D1 on the radio show today as well. And yes, I know his name was on there, but far more people listen to this in podcast form than watch. But we talked to him about, you know, the Hattiesburg Regional, the Tallahassee Regional, where Mississippi State is in coaching search. But here was his thoughts on the draw that Ole Miss received in the Oxford Regional. This is Kendall Rogers from D1 Baseball.
Looking to Oxford, Ole Miss gets a Georgia Tech team that comes in pretty hot about not getting a host themselves. And also, just a couple of really good ball clubs from lesser conferences in Western Kentucky and Murray State. When you look at this regional in Oxford, what is Ole Miss up against?
I think this will be the kind of the offensive regional. And the reason why I say that is, you know, Dan Skirka has done a really nice job at Murray State. I don't know if Mike's kind of commented on who might start against Murray State just yet. It's pretty early in the week. But, I mean, Murray State is a really good offensive team. I wonder if you know, Coach Bianco is willing to roll the dice without throwing Hunter Elliott in that first game. I don't know if you can just because they are very offensive. But here's the thing about this regional. We know how hot the Rebs are. But you look at the rest of this regional, you've got Murray State ranked 45th in the country in offense. You've got WKU with Ryan Weideman. Circle that name. If they have a big weekend, he will be the guy, you know, being kind of the straw that stirs your drink. He's really good. They are 14th offensively, and, of course, Georgia Tech 13th offensively, you know, going into this regional. So, again, I don't know if the wind will be blowing in or out, but, I mean, this has a chance to be a really, really exciting regional.
All right, and again, that was Kendall Rogers. So we will talk about this regional a little bit and read your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. If you're a Mississippi business and you need office technology, anything from copiers and printers all the way up to mail machines and cloud storage and data security, check them out, absms.com. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So just tell them what you need, what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me, absms.com. Also, Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. I think it's kind of a little tacky to do this on the podcast, but I'm going to do it anyway. If you want to be a part of this, if you have a business here in Mississippi and you want to attract people to your business, I can help you with that, both here and on the podcast and especially on the radio show as well. Send me an email, Borkey@supertalk.fm, B-O-R-K-E-Y @supertalk.fm. And I've got literally one more spot on here that I can fill, but plenty of spots on the radio show. We've got SEC Media Day packages ready to go. So shoot me an email. I promise that I can and we can help your business grow for sure. So let's get to the comments. Why not? Golf had everyone on their toes for sure. Thought we had it. Yeah, you know, there was a couple of moments where they could have. I mean, there was, oh gosh, what was it? Tankersley, his opponent on that par three, hits it into the water short, and then he does as well to follow that up. That was tough. And what was it? Fisher that had his opponent hit a tee shot into the water, and then he followed it up and didn't hit it in the water, but could not give himself a better layup, and then he kind of missed it right onto the cart path and couldn't take advantage of his opponent's mistake. But there were a lot of tired golf swings late. I mean, that they played a high-stakes, high-pressure match earlier in the day after going 72 holes in stroke play leading up to this. I mean, those dudes were tired, and you could tell. And Oklahoma State is filled with elite players as well. So, but knocking Arizona State out is really impressive. I mean, the U.S. amateur champion and one of the best players, amateur players in the country, both lost in the Ole Miss match. So legitimate stuff there. Really impressive stuff. Welcome to Ole Miss Athletics. Witness the inevitable meltdown. Oh, no. Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't read your whole message. Seriously, though, a great run by a bunch of guys from Walnut and West Point. Yeah. What a brutal way to lose. Nevertheless, the golf programs are elite. They absolutely are elite. Sat on the phone with your dad and stepdad separately talking Ole Miss golf the past couple of days. Whom's to thought it? It's pretty cool. It's really, really cool. Sounds good. I'll be tuning in to after every game, regardless of win or lose. Appreciate you, Braxton. Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll definitely be fun. Say you listened to Rippey and Colin Brister on the podcast today, and they made some good points. This is a favorable regional for Ole Miss. Might be playing Western Kentucky instead of Georgia Tech. Yeah, and those are a couple of ball knowers as well, especially Brister when it comes to baseball. Very, very good content when the two of them get together for sure. Yeah, you know, I don't want to be dismissive, but yeah, I tend to agree. Both of these lineups, and Murray State's lineup can really hit as well, but I do wonder about competition level with Western Kentucky. I mean, you look at either one of the starting pitchers that Ole Miss is going to see. I mean, their numbers are good. You have a sub-3 ERA with Jack Bennett. You have a 3.17 ERA with Drew Whalen. Their whip is both 1.22, well, 1.21 and 1.22. They have outstanding records. Batting average against is very good. But how much of that is – Patrick Morris appears to be a pretty great reliever as well. They have a group of relievers that look like they're really capable. One's got a whip of 0.93 in 21 appearances. I mean, that's legitimately good stuff. And they've played a handful of teams that you would respect the result against, and they've held their own. But man, Conference USA is so bad. And part of me just wonders, obviously a good baseball team. And obviously on a bad day for Ole Miss, they can most definitely beat them. But I do wonder about competition level. Same thing with Georgia Tech, honestly. The offensive numbers are really impressive. I think pitching leaves a lot to be desired, but how much of that is a product of them drawing the most favorable ACC schedule you could imagine? I don't know the answer, and we're going to find out this weekend, but I do, when you look around, I do think that there are regionals like Southern Misses, for example, and I know Ole Miss couldn't have drawn an SEC team, but my gosh, the Hattiesburg Regional is more difficult than this one. Now, there's a lot of them that are more difficult than this one. So I like Ole Miss's chances here, especially with the way they've pitched it lately. Neither Georgia Tech nor Western Kentucky nor Murray State have seen a pitching staff with the ability that Ole Miss's has. And Ole Miss has seen pitching like they're going to see this weekend. So we'll see. You'll be at Swayze all weekend, save Monday, which I hope isn't a thing. So don't say anything important. I never say anything important, so I don't think you have to worry about that. Don't like dancing around with Murray State at all. Figure they just throw Elliott and try to save the pen. I tend to agree with you, and I see both sides of it. And frankly, you can make the same exact argument. So like when we talked about it on the radio show today, Haydad says, and like it's an agreeable sentiment that if you can't beat Murray State without Hunter Elliott, then you're not winning the regional anyway. I tend to agree. But if you can't beat Georgia Tech or Western Kentucky with Maddox on the hill, then you're not winning the regional anyway. So you can just – you can use the same argument in both ways. I understand the strategy behind switching pitchers. I get it. I think that they're going to stick with it, and I think that's fine, especially with the way Maddox has been lately and the way this pitching staff has been lately. I would much rather get to the winner's bracket through Elliott than even try to take a risk switching around your rotation. If Ole Miss gets to the winner's bracket, they're going to win this thing. So just get there and figure it out after that. And yeah, I like your idea too of saving the pen. If you can get, you know, six complete of one run ball from Elliott and your offense puts up five, six on the board, seven on the board, whatever it is, and you can throw some non-Mason Morris arms, non-McCausland arms in here and get to game two when you can have a quicker hook if you need to on Maddox and then go to those guys out of the pen, I think that's the best course of action here. You say they have statistically the first or second most difficult region. Definitely not the first. Well, it depends on your metric, I guess. But RPI-wise, that is Hattiesburg. Hattiesburg is the most difficult. Baton Rouge, I believe, is the easiest when it comes to RPI average. We will see Hunter on Friday night, most definitely. I think so, and I think that's a fine decision. Ole Miss has the potential to win this in three games effectively, getting good starts out of Maddox and Elliott, then getting to game three with your opponent depleted in pitching. Absolutely. I mean, and when you look at what they have pitching wise, it's, I mean, Western Kentucky's numbers, guys, are really, really impressive. They really are, but there's no way there's the high level game three arm, game four arm that you would see like what you saw in the SEC tournament. Ever thought you'd see a regional with your two alma maters? What's the other one? What's the other one? Georgia Tech, maybe. If you went to Georgia Tech, then please Venmo me $500. It's a difficult regional for the other teams as well, not like Georgia Tech or Western Kentucky can just hold their number one guy. Yeah, that's a non-thought for either one of them. Auburn and LSU got a joke of a regional, LSU especially. The guy who sits in the front row, who sits on the front row in front of me, his nephew is the pitcher, Patel, for Georgia Tech. Talk about torn loyalties. Who's he rooting for? I'll be curious to know. Let me know. Pulling hard for Wake Forest to win the Knoxville regional? That would be pretty poetic justice, to be honest. Offense need to wake back up again, giving some slack because they were in Hoover, but the need to get back into bashing the ball. Don't think Ole Miss can afford to play through the loser's bracket. And, you know, Swayze Field is much more conducive to this offense producing. There was a handful of deep fly balls that would have changed the complexion of even though Ole Miss was able to win, you know, all but the championship game. I mean, Luke Hill hit one that would have changed the complexion of that game. That's a home run at Swayze. So the Hoover is not built for this particular offense to succeed. So. So does Ole Miss have to win the regional to host? I still think my favorite tweet was the Ole Miss wins the World Series, beats the LA Dodgers to win the World Series, and Kyle Peterson says they just have to win one more game. It's pretty funny. Best team Murray State's had since 1991. I mean, there are rarely bad teams in regionals. Sometimes, I mean, looks like Florida State is going to have a very easy decision to not pitch their soon-to-be top five pick in game one. But there is some of those. But when you get to this point, everybody you play is good. Anyone suggesting Cade Townsend start against Murray State doesn't know what they're talking about? Yeah, that would be a ridiculous. Absolutely not. That would be the only thing that you would do is you would switch Maddox and Elliott. I like Townsend, but no way. Georgia Tech might be the ACC regular season champions, but they didn't really face the best teams in the conference at all. No, they most definitely did not. Very, very easy schedule. You'll predict Ole Miss wins the regional in three games just because Elliott and Maddox have been dominant and the pen has been really good. I do think that they will win it in three as well. I think it'll be they'll sweep this regional cleanly. And I do think Georgia's going to win and Ole Miss will play the Super in Athens. Be interested to see who they throw on Friday. In my opinion, I think it'll be Elliott. If you're asking my opinion, I think it'll be Elliott on Friday. That's who I expect. Ole Miss has made a lot of mediocre pitchers look like Sandy Koufax this year. Yeah, that part of that is just baseball, though. Hunter Elliott in the postseason is 5-0 with a 0.6 ERA. I think there's a cicada outside my window or something. Anyway, hopefully we won't get escorted out of Swayze like you were in 2018 on Black Monday. Let's get a clean sweep. I myself was escorted out of Swayze one time. I'll tell that story on a later date. They said it on the TV broadcast that Elliott's getting closer to his old form and Maddox has really taken large strides in the second half. Yeah, Elliott is the last couple of starts, he has looked like vintage him for sure. Am I going to make it to the games? I have not applied for a credential yet. I will, and if I get approved, I won't go Friday for sure. It's taco night for me and my little guy. So... I'm not missing that. But if I get approved, I guess I should, but there is limited space there. And because, you know, Super Talk's based in Jackson, getting to games is more difficult to me. That's the one downside to working for who I work for. I love what I do and who I do it for. But living here in the Jackson area is an unfortunate side effect. Let's put it that way. Just it's hard, you know, being a dad going to games that are 3 hours away. That makes it tough. Can't expense babysitters either. So just kind of is what it is. Ideal Friday night would be Hunter to Calhoun to maybe Spencer. Yeah. Not even Spencer. Just Hunter to Calhoun to Rabe, you know? If Georgia gets beaten in the regional, that would be elite. It's been quite some time since Ole Miss has hosted a super regional, as you guys know. Yeah. Home runs in Hoover way down this year. Why was that? Why do you think that was? I think you heard that the ball Luke Hill smashed would have been a homer in 16 of the 17 SEC ballparks. Hoover is the only one it wasn't. That makes sense. a routine fly ball is a school record home run at Tennessee. Yeah, it's a crackerjack box. I mean, both teams play in it, but yes, Tennessee plays in a hitter's park for sure. You think switch Maddox and Elliott? Why aren't I in California covering golf? I wish I was. Man, they were wearing sweaters today. That's the kind of weather I want. How about if we get a Tennessee-Arkansas Super? Yeah, but that means Tennessee wins, and that's not good. Do I think Alabama or Southern Miss wins that regional? I think Alabama will win that regional. I hope I'm wrong. What do I think about the non-con hosts or the non-host SEC seeds? I think that only Alabama is going to get out of it. Shame Richard Cross is getting sent out to Coastal Carolina. Not a shame at all. Not a shame at all. I'm not familiar with the work of the people that are calling the games for Ole Miss, but I am going to reach out and see if they're willing to come on the radio show. So we'll see. If you guys are a radio show listener, hope we can pull that off, because that would be a good conversation. So Alabama should have hosted. They absolutely should have hosted. They got snubbed more than Georgia Tech got snubbed. I mean, just by objective measures. Speaking of, we need to talk playoff and stuff like that coming up here soon. We'll do that when the regionals are over, because a lot of stuff is happening at spring meetings. But anyway, all right, we'll be back. It's really late, but I appreciate you guys being here. We'll be back live after the game on Friday. That's what we'll do. After the game Friday, we will be back recapping it together. After the game Friday, Saturday, Sunday, every game, we will be live 5 minutes or so after it goes final. So I'll see you guys then. I appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your week. If you're traveling to Oxford, be safe up there. And I'll talk to you guys after the game on Friday. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.